Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. 9.5 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, October the 30th. Should there be a modern day GI Bill? Should veterans returning from service in Iraq and Afghanistan be eligible for a taxpayer paid college education, much like the veterans returning from World War II were entitled to? Well, there's a bill in Congress authored by U.S. Senator and veteran Jim Webb that would revive the GI Bill. It's called the Post-9/11 Veterans Assistance Act of 2007, and it would give returning service members who qualify 36 months of benefits, the payment of tuition, books, and fees, plus a $1,000 a month living stipend. Our guest this hour says the GI Bill was perfect for its time, but that doesn't make it perfect for today. And we will wonder what you think and what questions you have. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Or send your question or comment via email to talk@wpr.org. Steve Chapman is a columnist for the Chicago Tribune. His October 14th column was entitled, "Is It Time to Revive the GI Bill?" He joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. Your conclusion is maybe not.
Well, I think it's a kind of a too simple solution to a fairly complicated problem. And I think the circumstances that warranted the GI Bill at the end of World War II are not the same ones we face today.
Yeah, tell us what... I'm sorry.
And I don't think we can respond in quite the same way, or we ought to respond in quite the same way. World War II, of course, was fought with a conscript army. I mean, most people who went into the military in World War II were drafted, and they weren't paid very well, because when you're drafting people, you don't have to pay them very well. They don't have a choice. They can't leave for a better paying option. These people were, it was mostly men, obviously, in mm-hmm. those days, were drafted, shipped off to the Pacific or Europe, and basically required to stay as long as it took to win the war. And once it was over, you had two issues to deal with. One was that we had really, obviously the war had disrupted a lot of lives. It had taken young men away from their normal activities for years at a time, mm-hmm. and they weren't paid very well for it. And I think a lot of, most Americans felt very grateful for what they had done and for what they had achieved, and wanted to compensate them for everything that they had endured. And the way we did it was basically paying for anybody to go to college anywhere in the country, mm-hmm. not only state schools, but the Ivy League. You could get your full tuition and fees paid while you did that. And nearly half of the service members who served during World War II actually took advantage of the GI Bill and went to college or vocational school.
Yeah, well, shouldn't the post-9/11 veterans be compensated for what they do?
Well, we have a very different military today. It's all volunteer. That's the crucial difference. And people are paid much better than they were during World War II. In real terms, a private in the Army today is paid about twice what a private in the Army was paid in 1943. People go into the Army because they're attracted to the career options. They want to see the world. They want they want to serve their country. They want to do something exciting. But they also, these days, they can also take into account the fact, that it pays a lot better than it used to. And so it doesn't really make a lot of sense to decide, people volunteered under these terms, and therefore we ought to compensate them anyway. And the there are all sorts of educational benefits available now, but they're done in a more targeted way than just providing them across the board. And that's a good thing for the Army, and it's probably a good thing for the people in it as well.
Yeah. You point out that, I'm looking at your column, there is nothing wrong with the nation deciding to thank the troops in a tangible way, but expanded college assistance isn't necessarily the best expression of gratitude.
Well, the reason I think there is some reason to provide some additional compensation is because most of the people who enlisted in the military 5 or 10 years ago did not do so, and particularly those who enlisted in the reserves, did not anticipate that they were going to be doing multiple combat tours during their time in uniform. Especially people in the reserves never expected that they would be doing 13 months or 15 months in Iraq, coming back home for a year or so and then going back. That was just not part of the deal. So I think for us to say these people really went above and beyond the call of duty, and we ought to provide them some financial compensation for that. That's perfectly reasonable. But, of course, not everybody wants to go to college. And to say we're going to provide you with 4 years of tuition and fees at the most expensive state university in your state, that may not be of great interest to a lot of people in the military. Because that's college is not what they want to do. They might rather have the money to do something else, or they might just like to have the money.
We're going to check weather, and then we'll continue talking with and accept your phone calls for Steve Chapman, a columnist for the Chicago Tribune. We're talking about his recent column about whether or not it's time to revive the GI Bill. There is a bill in Congress that would do this and provide a taxpayer-subsidized college education for the veterans returning from Iraq and Afghanistan. Our guest says it may not make a whole lot of sense to do that today, while it made perfect sense to do it for the post-World War II veterans. We wonder what you think and what questions you have. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 18 and a half minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, October the 30th. Coming up this afternoon, after 3 on Here on Earth Radio Without Borders, an update on the American debate over torture. Gene Faraca's guest is Michael Ratner, president of the Center for Constitutional Rights. That's coming up after 3. We are talking about whether or not the U.S. should revive the GI Bill. U.S. Senator Jim Webb has proposed the Post-9/11 Veterans Education Assistance Act of 2007. It seeks to provide veterans of the 9/11 era educational benefits similar to those provided to service members at the end of World War II. Under this bill, returning service members could earn up to 36 months of benefits for a college education. It would include the payment of tuition, books, fees, as well as a $1,000 a month living stipend for those qualifying veterans. The bill's getting a lot of support from veterans groups and others, but our guest this hour says while this idea appeals to the heart, it should give pause to the head. He says the GI Bill was perfect for its time, but that doesn't make it perfect for ours. And we welcome your thoughts and questions for Steve Chapman, a columnist for the Chicago Tribune. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Ben in Oshkosh is our first caller. Hi, Ben.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I'm all for this GI Bill reform. Our country hasn't always been the greatest at supporting our veterans or even helping our veterans. So I really think it's a good idea because those coming back from the war need support. And he argues that a private in the Army is getting paid twice what it used to. Well, look at the cost of a Snickers bar. That's more than quadrupled.
Yeah, all right. The increase in pay isn't enough, Steve Chapman.
Well, the increase in pay that I mentioned is that's after adjusting for the increase in prices since World War II. So, in terms of buying power, a private in the Army today has about double what one did back in World War II. That doesn't mean that we couldn't do something additional, and I think that's a reasonable thing to do given what veterans have endured in the last since 9/11.
Yeah.
I'm just not sure that additional educational benefits across the board are the way to go.
Yeah. Thanks, Ben. John in Viroqua. Hi, John. You're on the air.
Yeah. Good morning. Yeah, I'm a veteran, and I benefited from many programs, and most of the people that go into the military right now, most of the people that were in didn't ever think they'd see combat. They went in mostly for the benefits and the pay. It's a great job. The people that went in after 9/11, they went in for sort of patriotic, you might say, reasons, also went in as voluntary folks. It's a job that you apply for like any other job. And the fact is we're creating this idea of sort of a martial culture where we're really aggrandizing the military, which really bothers me because it's no more grand than a teacher or a fireman or a cop or a farmer or a doctor. And we're not going to, nobody's talking about giving these people education. I think everybody should get education paid for if we're going to pay for education for soldiers. Soldiers are no different than anyone else. They're paid to do a job and they do it.
Steve Chapman?
That's one perspective, and given that he's a veteran, I certainly don't want to disagree. I think there have been sacrifices imposed on people who have served in the military in the last 5 years that kind of went beyond what they anticipated and what we anticipated, and provide some sort of financial compensation for that, I think is reasonable.
Yeah, you also write about the bonuses for enlistment now.
Right, they're pretty substantial at this point because the Army, in particular, has had trouble recruiting and retaining people as the war in Iraq has gone on. The average bonus for enlistment in the Army, in the active Army today, is about $16,000. For the reserves, it's about $13,000. And for reenlistment, the bonuses are comparable. And in some cases, the bonuses can go as high as $40,000. That's not for everybody. That's if you're in a specialty that's really important that the Army needs people to fill. They might give you $30,000 or $40,000 to stay in. On top of that, of course, there is substantial educational assistance available. Anybody going, who serves in the military gets about $38,000 for college once they're done. And if you want to go to college, you can participate. You may be able to participate in things like the Army College Fund, which can provide another, $30,000-$40,000 worth of assistance.
Yeah. Thanks, John, for the call. Al in Madison is with us now. Hi, Al.
Hi. I'm a Vietnam veteran, served in the Marines, and I think this country owes anybody we send into combat a free ride all the way through. That the things that you suffer, the being away from your spouse for a year or more, I only had four bad incoming days out of a year over there, but the dreams lasted into my 50s. We send people into combat, we owe them free ride, college education, health care for the rest of their life, in my opinion. Very few people have any understanding what goes on. So any politician that would dare cancel those benefits will be out of office in the next election. I can guarantee you that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. No one's talking about necessarily canceling benefits here, right, Steve? No,
no. It's strictly a debate about whether they ought to be enriched. Obviously, combat is an awful thing to have to go through. I think the previous caller had a point that, people enlist in the military by choice. Nobody's making them do it. They know what the risks are. Some of them do it in the hope that they'll get to see combat. That doesn't necessarily mean when, they get it, it's going to be what they anticipated. But I think, there's a deal between people who enlist and the military. They agree to serve for a certain period. The military agrees to pay them a certain amount and provide additional benefits, and including health care after they get out, and so on. And I think that's a normal trade, and people make it willingly, and I don't think we have any necessary obligation to go above and beyond that. I think you can make a case that in these circumstances it's reasonable, but I don't think it's an open-ended obligation.
Yeah, my husband was a Vietnam era veteran too, and he did have some college education benefits, and I believe even assistance with getting a home mortgage and that sort of thing. So there are these types of benefits right during Vietnam and now.
Yeah, and I think we owed more to the Vietnam veterans than today's veterans in a sense, because those were draftees. They didn't go, by choice. They got yanked out of their lives and sent to fight a war. And I think the obligations are a little different in that case.
Yeah, thanks, Al. Harry in Appleton, hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. I'm a veteran, and when I was a midshipman, a senior at the Naval Academy, I actually did a seminar at the Pentagon's Office of Economic Analysis for this, and your guest is exactly right from several perspectives. One is that this is exactly the wrong economic motivation to somebody who at the end of their tour is finally useful to the military. We need the guys that have been in there 5 to 10 years, and now we're saying, well, we'll give you $30,000 or $50,000 if you leave the military. Second thing, as a recruitment tool, a free college education to an 18-year-old, when you take the discount rate, which is the rate that someone discounts money received in the future, the prospect of a free college education when you're 24 to an 18-year-old is almost meaningless because it's so far in the future. This is exactly, as he says, something that feels good, but from a rational economic standpoint, and particularly given the fact that there is nobody in the military now who is there against their will, everybody served. My stepdaughter and my son-in-law both are in Iraq right now. There is no need. This is a bad idea to pay for college. Somebody gets them out of the military just when we need them the most.
Thank you very much, Harry, for the call. We have to check news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio for the next 5 minutes or so, and then we will get our guest to respond to your comments. And Steve Chapman does point out that downside in his column, too. He is a columnist for the Chicago Tribune. He wrote a recent column, "Is It Time to Revive the GI Bill?" And he concludes that probably not. And we welcome your thoughts and questions for him at 1-800-642-1234. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 7:36 on this Tuesday, October the 30th. Is it time to revive the GI Bill? Our guest this hour, Chicago Tribune columnist Steve Chapman, pondered this question in a recent piece in which he wrote, "When American soldiers returned from World War II, the nation thanked them with the GI Bill, which allowed millions of people to go to college at government expense. U.S. Senator Jim Webb thinks if it was good enough for the greatest generation, it's good enough for this one. And he wants to enact a new version of that program, an idea that may appeal to the heart, but should give pause to the head." And in the piece, Steve Chapman concludes that the GI Bill was perfect for its time, but that doesn't make it perfect for ours. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. We welcome your thoughts and questions about this. Just before news time, we heard from Harry in Appleton, who said that he didn't think that this expanded version of the GI Bill was a good idea. He said that it would discourage people from staying in the service, and that would hurt us in the long run. Steve Chapman, you point to that in your piece as well.
Yeah, and he made a very good point, which is, and this is particularly true given the state of the Army at this point, and we're having trouble filling the ranks. We're having trouble recruiting and retaining people. And the Army is very obviously overstretched. What a new GI Bill would do would be to discourage people from reenlisting. It's saying, you know, we're going to give you this great bonus, but the catch is you got to leave the military to take advantage of it. The way we do things now, the way the military operates now, is it provides bonuses for reenlistment, and they're not just sort of everybody gets the same bonus. People who are in very valuable specialties get higher bonuses, reflecting, you know, the need that we have for those people. And the Army can kind of tailor its compensation package, you know, to meet the particular needs it has at any given point. And that's what this bill doesn't do, and in fact would make it harder for the military to hang on to the people it needs.
Yeah.
Obviously, during a war is not the time to be doing that.
Thanks to Harry. Tim in Sparta is with us. Hi, Tim.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I support the bill, and let me tell you why. First off, I'm very happy that we have a volunteer military force, and that it's not our military is not drafted. And I feel that especially around different parts of the country, it's gotten pretty hard for recruiters, especially like in cities like San Francisco or other state universities where it's illegal to have ROTC officers and recruiters come. I think this would bring an added incentive to these young people that they could get an educational benefit. And I think, you know, we don't give our military nearly enough what they deserve. Like the previous caller said a couple callers back, when these guys, it's a different job. When you leave and you leave your family behind for up to a year or more, you can't classify that as, you know, like a teacher or a police officer or any kind of job. It's different, and we should give these guys as much as they can.
Thanks very much, Tim. We can hear somebody else wants your attention right now. So what about that, Steve Chapman?
Well, I think, you know, we have a volunteer military, and over the years, the Defense Department has figured out how you attract the people you need at the least cost to taxpayers. And if what everybody who goes into the military wanted was 4 years of educational benefits, that's probably what the military would be providing. It doesn't seem to be what people want, because the military has found that you can get more recruits and you can retain more people if you provide the compensation in a different form, normally just in a bonus. If you want to stay in the military, educational benefits may not attract you, and you know, you may not be particularly interested in pursuing your education anyway. Maybe you'd like to stay in the military, you know, doing that job, but you'd like to be compensated better for it. By reenlisting, you get a bonus. You can go, you know, you can use it as a down payment on a house. You can use it to buy a car. You know, you can use it for whatever purpose you want. And if you're, you know, if you're somebody who, you know, you're planning to leave after your next tour of duty, maybe you want to put that in the bank and use it to start a business when you get out. I mean, that's perfectly legitimate, and I don't think we ought to sort of dictate to the military to provide benefits that, you know, may not be what the people they're trying to keep really want.
Frank in Arborvitae is with us. Hi.
Good morning.
Morning.
I am a World War II veteran that benefited from the GI Bill, but let me tell you this. I was drafted. I got $21 a day once a month, And then in 1944, there was hard, by mid-year, there was just not a able-bodied male left in the colleges around the country because the 2A deferments had ended by that time. So after the war, I went back to college, having completed about 3 years before I was drafted. I found that everybody around me was in the same situation that I was. They had had their college education interrupted by either their having been conscripted or their having being in college, facing conscription, and volunteered for programs like the Navy V-5 program and things like that, where they had a chance to more immediately get into an officer-type school.
Yeah, so you certainly think it made sense then. Do you think it makes sense
no,
now?
No, I don't. I think that it's a different world. It's a different army. Mm-hmm. And I think that from what I have heard, the benefits that are there go a long way toward providing what the volunteer soldiers want. And they're guaranteed these things when they go in. Mm-hmm. So I agree with the columnist.
Yeah, and Steve Chapman, you do talk a little bit about why it made sense more back in 1944.
Well, I mean, the other reason that besides, you know, just gratitude for the people who had served, there was this concern that we were going to have 16 million people coming back from the war looking for jobs, and there weren't going to be enough jobs to absorb them into the economy. So the GI Bill was seen as a way to avoid that, to you know, kind of slow the reentry of people into the workforce and give the economy a chance to adjust. There was also the historical parallel that they wanted to avoid, which was after World War II, you know, returning veterans basically get $60 and a train ticket home and, you know, a warm thank you, and that was about it. And, you know, we've all read in the history books about the bonus marchers who went to Washington and camped out for a month, demanding more assistance from the government, and eventually, they were driven out of Washington in a pretty brutal fashion. So there was this memory and that nobody wanted to repeat, and that was part of the reason for the GI Bill.
Yeah. Next, we thank you very much, Frank. Charles in Boston. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I am a Vietnam veteran, volunteered for U.S. Air Force, and I'm now I'm a professional in the biological sciences. I have a son who is a veteran, now going to college. It should be noted that right now, as compared to the Vietnam era, my son has to complete the semester that he's going to school before he receives any payment, whereas when I was in college, payments were sent the month you started. And so what they've done is they have thrown up some bureaucratic stuff to help discourage the use of these benefits. My other comment is that I find almost this whole discussion just about ridiculous. Here we talk about choices of going in and professionals and all volunteer. It points out the level of disregard for service to this country, and the fact that we're just ignoring the fact that most people who supposedly volunteer are doing so more because of economic concerns and so forth. I know of several people who were in dire financial states who joined just to get the signing bonus. And so I think this whole discussion is fairly distorted. If we look at some of the benefits, this is a bit of a diversion, but yeah. I know several government projects where there are grants and so forth that many professionals are paid very high, in effect, bonuses or extra salary because there's sign-offs and so forth and so on. So I find this whole discussion actually quite bizarre.
Yeah, I don't know why you think it's so bizarre, Charles, but we have a weather break right now, so maybe you want to hold on and explain that further. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Our guest is Steve Chapman. He's a columnist for the Chicago Tribune. He wrote a recent column wondering, is it time to revive the GI Bill, as Senator Jim Webb wants to do, wants to provide a four-year college education for post-9/11 veterans. And our guest is saying that while the GI Bill and a free college education might have made sense during World War II, for example, it may not make sense today. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. 12 minutes before 8 o'clock, coming up after 8, I'll be welcoming in the author of Look Me in the Eye. It's a memoir of our guest's life with Asperger's syndrome. That's coming up in our next hour. We are talking with Steve Chapman, a columnist for the Chicago Tribune, and Steve Chapman, our caller before the weather break, said he was helped by the GI Bill as a Vietnam veteran, and his son, who I believe he said was an Iraqi war veteran, is also getting educational benefits through the GI benefits that are available, though he says they're a little harder to come by. Some roadblocks have been thrown up to make it a little harder to claim those benefits. Your reaction to his comments?
Well, what struck me about his comments was that he said, we don't hold veterans in very high regard, or the military in very high regard, and that struck me as a very hard thing to agree with. I'm 53, and I can't remember a time in my lifetime when people who serve in the military have been held in higher regard than they are today, and anybody who lived through the Vietnam era, when the military was really a lot of people held it in contempt, and a lot of returning soldiers from Vietnam were embarrassed to have their uniforms on when they came back because of the way people would respond to them. I just think we've made enormous progress in the way we regard the military and people who have served in the military, and the way we provide for them. The pay is much better. The overall treatment is much better. Things that were tolerated in the military 30, 50 years ago are not tolerated today. And I think that's all a good thing. I'm surprised that he doesn't see that.
Yeah, you're not questioning whether Senator Webb's bill makes sense or not because you don't respect the military.
No, I haven't heard anybody say, Who cares about the military? What have they done for us? I mean, but the interesting thing is, from the calls we've gotten and from the responses I got to my column, is that there's a lot of disagreement among veterans. Not everybody thinks this is a good idea, but as I said, you don't hear from anybody who thinks, we're really doing far too much for our veterans and we ought to do less.
Yeah. Charles, thanks very much for the call. We have many other callers, including Roger in Milwaukee, who is with us now. Hi, Roger.
Hi, Joy. Thanks for taking my call. Thanks, Steve, for writing the article. I have a few points. I have benefited from military educational benefits. I'm also an Iraq war veteran. I returned home about a year ago. And 3 points. Number one, they get large bonuses when they reenlist, enlist initially. Second point is when they do deploy, we receive a rather large number of benefits there as well. We receive a certain pay like family separation, hostile pay, imminent danger pay, a lot of it. And we don't have to pay taxes either, federal taxes when we deploy. So we receive a lot of benefit there. I think that you're correct in that we shouldn't expand the GI Bill because it currently exists, and soldiers are receiving that benefit today, getting their degrees and things of that nature. So what do we need? I'm not sure exactly what we need. Maybe better financial planning courses for soldiers because they get lots of money for what they do. More money towards veteran affairs and how they treat people when they come back from the war. I don't know, but I agree with you that the money could be spent better elsewhere in the organization and not necessarily expanding educational benefits, because not everyone, like you said, wants to go to college. They want money to go start a business or go do something else with, and it's not really about money either. I think that there's something deeper that they need. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Roger. There's a case in point to Steve Chapman on the difference of opinion on this.
Well, it's very good to hear his thoughts. I would point out, and what he said about, you know, maybe we need better financial planning. Anybody who wants to go to college, wants to go into the military and then come out and go to college, there's a good deal of money available. And if some sensible planning, you know, you can bank your bonuses, you can take advantage of the existing GI Bill, which is will pay about $38,000, which is, you know, about enough to pay for about 2 years with all the expenses involved. And then there's the Army College Fund, which can provide, you know, additional tens of thousands. So anybody who is really serious about going to college and wants to use the military as a way to pay for that can do it right now.
Thank you very much, Roger. Kevin in La Crosse is with us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I think the previous caller kind of stole any thunder that I had. I agree with the author, although I haven't column. There's already quite a few benefits available, and it is an all-volunteer military. People choose to come in for whatever that reason is. Maybe there is some economic problems in their lives, and they join to get health care benefits or whatever, but I think those situations are probably fewer and far between the normal people that go in to serve their country and to get the job done. I don't think we need to pile on more and more incentives afterwards, unless that's going to be to take care of them if they're injured. I think that's where our money ought to be, rather than to buff the already existing system. There is GI Bill. Every soldier that leaves the military gets counseled on what their benefits are.
Yeah. Yeah, we're losing a little bit. Why not, Steve Chapman, have this expanded college assistance as one option, but I don't know, other stuff as well for other veterans?
Well, that's the value of financial bonuses. I mean, if you get $20,000 or $30,000 to enlist or re-enlist, you know, maybe you want to put that in the bank and use it for college when you're finished, or maybe you want to use it for some other purpose. And the advantage of the current system is you don't have to do it one way. You can do it however you want.
Yeah. Gordon in Madison. Hi, Gordon. You're on the air.
Yes, another World War II vet.
Welcome.
I'm in total disagreement with this whole idea. I think we're privatizing the armed forces. If we're going to have a war, we need a draft, so everybody has to take the chance. If we're going to have a GI Bill, and I learned from it also, then it should be for any public service, not just the armed forces. We're going to privatize everything in this country, and we're going to go in debt by doing it. I think it's a terrible idea of paying people to serve because it's economic, it's not loyalty. And I'm deadly against it unless we extend any kind of service like this to any public service in the country, not just military.
Okay, Gordon. Reaction to that, Steve Chapman?
Well, I don't think people go into the military just for money. I think they go into the military because they want to serve their country. They want to, give back. The nice thing today is you can do that and you can still be compensated a reasonable amount. And I think that's a good thing. I don't think we want to go back to a draft army. I would much rather that people who are in the military want to be there.
Yeah.
Well, I think it makes for a better military.
I'm looking at some of the latest news on this. Post 9/11 Veterans Educational Assistance Act of 2007 got support in the House with a version in the House of Representatives this summer, and Lots of veterans groups support this bill. Do you know where this bill stands and the likelihood of its passage?
Well, I don't think it's going to go anywhere this year. You know, next year is an election year. It might be an attractive thing. But it, you know, it would be expensive, and given I don't think it's going to have the support of the Pentagon, I think it's probably got an uphill fight.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Steve Chapman is a columnist for the Chicago Tribune. We were talking about his recent column that was entitled, Is It Time to Revive the GI Bill? And we thank him for joining us, and we thank you for listening along and calling in, and we thank Leo Duran for producing the program. If you'd like a CD copy of this or any of our talk shows, you can call the radio store. That number is 1-800-747-7444. 1-800-747-7444. You can also listen to our talk shows. They are archived on our website, wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. I hope you stay tuned. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.